ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम गणानां त्वा गणपतिं भवामहे कविं कवीनां उपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं कवीर्यंकर वावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः As I was already doing this Ishavasya Upanishad, I just thought I'll continue and complete it. And I also thought for this, because we have short time, we don't have much time, so I didn't choose any big text. So I just thought I'll do this Parthasmarana Stotram, even though all of you must be knowing it already. Which we can complete within this short time, isn't it? It's more for Nidhyasanam, Pratyasmarana Stotram is actually more for Nididhyasana only. It looks simple, but it's very nice. A lot of understanding must have already gone in to understand this, really speaking. So, small but very rich. What we'll do, because it's the morning time, we'll read this once, then we will do the Ishavasyam class, then we will continue after, okay? Yeah.
प्रातस्मरामि हृदि संस्फुरदात्मतत्त्वम् सच्चित्सुखं परमहंसगतिं तुरीयम् यत् स्वप्न जागर सुषुप्ति मवैति नित्यम् तद्ब्रह्म निष्कलमहं न च भूतसङ्गः प्रातर्भजामि मनसाम् वचसामगम्यम् प्रातर्भजामि मनसाम् वचसामगम्यम् वाचो विभान्ति निखिलायदनुग्रहेण यन्नेति नेति वचनैर्निगमावोचन् तन्देव देवमजमच्युतमाहुरग्र्यम् प्रातर्नमामि तमसः परमर्कवर्णम् पूर्णं सनातनपदं पुरुषोत्तमाख्यम् यस्मिन्निदं जगदशेषमशेषमूर्तौ रज्ज्वाम्भुजङ्गम इव प्रतिभासितं वै
This Ishavasya Upanishad is a mantra Upanishad, and for which the Brahmana Upanishad is Brihadaranyakam. In Brihadaranyakam also, there are 8 chapters, big Upanishad. And the first 2 chapters deal with only Karma Yoga, Karma Yoga topic. The rest of the 6 chapters, from the 3rd to the 8th, discuss the Jnana Yoga topic. In fact, Adi Shankara Bhagavatpada has not even written commentary on the first 2 chapters. His commentary begins from the 3rd chapter of Brihadaranyakam. So that's why this Upanishad also being the Mantropanishad presents the content briefly here. It also makes it very clear there is no third path. There are only 2 nishte, is it? Nishta, nishte. Nishta dvayameva. Pata samskritam varudu. You know, there are only 2 lifestyles and 2 sadhanani. And briefly, 2 sadhanani we say. Of course, again we have avantara sadhanani we have. 2. So here, for a mumukshuhu and for the jignyasuhu, for the one who has purushartha nischayaha, not simply purushartha nischayaha, not even the jignyasa, the desire to know the truth, the desire to attain the moksha, that really becomes a serious pursuit, that becomes a serious thing, not a casual pursuit, then that person must have, for one to have such tivra jignyasa, tivra mumuksha, that serious fervent desire for jnanam and moksha, for him to have that and thereby to become committed to the pursuit. Of course, once you know, you have purushartha nischaya, you become committed. Purushartha nischaya is there, you are very clear about the end being moksha, then naturally one becomes committed to the pursuit. Even then, what I'm saying, that's not serious commitment, means what? Really, the person must have seen the limitations of everything in the world, and he must see the gatihi. What gati? No, the only choice. There's no choiceless, isn't it? The choicelessly, what is there is the pursuit of knowledge. It is the jnanam, jnana deva kaivalyam. It is only through knowledge this choiceless end moksha has to be accomplished. In fact, moksha, even though we use the term, it has to be accomplished, it's accomplishing the already accomplished only. That also, how do we know it's already accomplished? Because of our shastram only tells us. Without shastram, we'll be standing in utter darkness. It is only in the light of Shastra teaching, Shastra Mata, Shruti Mata, only in the light of her guidance, only in the light of the Shruti Mother's teaching, we understand this fact, very fact. What is that fact? The moksha you need not work for, which is already there. Because it is already there, it needs to be only discovered. That is why even if you attain it in terms of knowledge, you will not lose it. Anything attained will be lost. That is the, isn't it? Yadyat prapyate tattat nashya, no? Tattat gachyatyapi. That also goes. Anything which is obtained, that is definitely lost, that will go away from you. So your moksha is also something which is something newly attained, which is not there already. Even though the term moksha literally means freedom, because you all must be knowing already, it is come from the root to muchu. Muchu dhatuhu, root, and the what is the no? Muchu mochate mochayati, and mokshaha is a masculine noun, and muktihi is a feminine noun, vimochanam is a neutral noun. All the three words mean the same. We have one more extra word, mukuhu, also. I told you that is why Bhagavan is called Mukundaha. Mukum dadati iti Mukundaha, isn't it? Mokshadaha. Let's do it. No, this is already there. So this, even that word, if the word mokshaha means literally freedom, what is implied by this is freedom from unhappiness. Freedom from unhappiness implies what? Happiness. Therefore, the implied meaning of the word mokshaha is happiness, sukham. That is, which sukham? Nitya nirantara sukham. Once you get it, you won't lose it. Anything got, anything obtained has to be lost. Will be lost. No choice. Anything attained will be lost means, if moksha also is attained newly, if it is already not there, the happiness is not there already, if you are attaining it newly, then it will be lost. It will not, you know, last forever. We can't call it everlasting. There is no such thing called everlasting thing here other than happiness. If at all, is there anything which is everlasting? Everlasting must be the beginningless. Everlasting is the endless. Endless means it must be beginningless also. Beginningless, not only beginningless and endless, it's also, you know, it is changeless. So beginningless, endless, changeless alone is said to be everlasting, which is timeless. Timeless, again, when you say use the term timeless also, it cannot have beginning. Therefore, beginningless, endless, changeless, timeless, everlasting, all these terms are very beautiful to use, no? Is the happiness. Why? It is only one thing which you need not work hard for. Why? We do not attain it. It is already there. Who says this? Shastra. Therefore, but it is already there, still you don't have it, which means you need to discover it. Having it, I don't have it means what? I have it. If I have it, where do I have it? It is not there for me. If it is there, then there should not be unhappiness at all. If happiness is there, why there is unhappiness? Why there is dukkham then? Why there is not only dukkham? And dukkham means, you know, all sorts of problems which are the source of this, cause of this dukkham. All of them, why are they there? Why are they here? Because the sukham is there, sukham is not known. That's why you had discovery of what is already there is what? Praptasya praptihi. Not apraptasya praptihi, not the, you know, attainment of the unattained, attainment of something which is already there. Siddhasya. No, what is sadhya means? Siddhasya eva. Already what is achieved, accomplished alone, it's accomplished in terms of knowledge. Therefore, this is the shastras, these words of shastram. Now, when a mumukshuhu, a jignyasuhu, discovering his moksha being the ultimate end, choiceless end. If there is choice, we'll all try choice. Like in our, you know, the morning when we went there for breakfast, the choice is there, means, my God, we what to try. Either we had to try a mandarin or tangerine or kiwi fruit or banana. Choice means we'll choose. The problem is that we hear happiness, what choice do we have? No choice. That is why this moksha happens to be the choiceless ultimate end. It just becomes very clear. And this is what is something sought after through all other accomplishments, through all other achievements, through all our enjoyments, through all our experiences, through all our enjoyment of the enjoyments. What is sought is this, ultimately is what is sought. This has to be very clear. Once that becomes very clear, and the tivra moksha, tivra jignasa is there, one more thing is what? This moksha, which is my choiceless ultimate end, this happiness which is my choiceless ultimate end, which has to be attained only in terms of knowledge, and it has to be discovered, means, and nothing else in the world also will give me this moksha that I am seeking choicelessly. Nothing else gives me, knowledge will reveal. In the knowledge will reveal moksha which is already there, and nothing else in the world can give me what I am seeking. And unless and until I accomplish this life of becoming, life of transmigration called samsaraha, will be choicelessly there for me also. Doesn't matter, I don't need, even if I don't accomplish moksha, do I have any choice about not being born again? I have no choice. If the choice was already there, we would have chosen the previous janma, we wouldn't have come back now. Isn't it? Being born again also is a choiceless thing. Knowledge, moksha, ajnanam, no choice, be born again. Not to be born again is okay, being born is very nice, but being born is nice enough for enjoying, the jagat is there for you to enjoy, but still there's only sukham, we will like it. But it no jivanam will be sukhapurnam dukkarahitam, only life with only sukham pleasures without pain will not be possible. Isn't it? Therefore, this samsara is also inevitable in ignorance. In jnanam is moksha, jnanam ajnanam. Between these two, what is your choice? Jnanam, you don't need to work for ignorance, already there, you are blessed with that enough. So, you don't need to work for ajnanam, it's already there, we can remain blissfully ignorant, we can retain it, keep it safe, and we can come back again and again, or we can resolve that ignorance, then we can resolve the ignorance, then discover the fullness also, and really which will make this life a complete life, a meaningful life also, isn't it? That is why the tīra mukṣutvam, tīra jignāsutvam is there, means then the pursuit becomes a committed pursuit. For a committed pursuit, for the person of committed pursuit, the person of commitment, not total commitment, not casual commitment, total serious commitment, then here what we saw in the very first verse, what should he do? No, the only first thing is what? See the truth and resolve everything in the truth. Then, resolving everything, negating everything, and you finally arrive at the conclusion, the right conclusion, the vision, that all that is, there is only one vastu. So, Isha Vasyam Idam Sarvam. Idam Sarvam Vasyam. The whole Jagat has to be, every object of experience has to be covered, means what? Has to be falsified, negated through the vision of the reality. Once you falsify the reality, you cannot falsify it if you do not really, you don't see the truth. See the truth, falsify everything, resolve everything in the truth, then arrive at the, then what now? There'll be the conclusion what? What is there is only Brahma. When you say what is there only Brahma, Aham Brahma, all that is here is, that's the Atma. That vision, then that's called actually for the committed, for the person of committed, the person of commitment. For him, sannyasaha, sannyasa dvara jnana nishtha is very difficult, okay? Sannyasa dvara jnana nishtha means what is the tyagaha, what is the sannyasaha there? What is that renounced? Isn't it? Renunciation is, you are not renouncing anything here. In fact, falsifying the jagat in the truth itself is what? Actually, that is that wrong, giving up. Sannyasa is of the wrong perception. Therefore, may one attain that vision for which, so sannyasa dvara jnana nishtha, that is prescribed first, and also, and then only for such a person, the jnana yoga vivarana mantraha are also unfolded from the third mantra to the eighth mantra. So first mantra is a jnana yoga sutra mantra, and the rest of the mantras, third to the eighth jnana yoga vivarana mantraha. And for such a person, the teaching gets over with that. Ninth verse onwards, really, one need not get into, if a person is already, you know, person of commitment, the serious commitment, then he does not need to really work from the ninth verse. He need not really try to know what is there also. But still Shastram tells now, in the second verse is the Karma Yoga Vivarana Mantraha. I already told this in the class in terms of the end, ultimate end. If you see what is the priority, what is the tatparyam of the entire Shastram, if you see, moksha is the tatparyam. What is the purpose of the studying the entire Veda? Is it just the performance of, is it for performing karma? Is it for enjoying the benefit of performance of rituals? Or is it for understanding meditations? Or is it for simply practicing meditations? Is it for enjoying the benefits of meditation? Ultimately, all these things are there in the Veda. Like IKEA shop, isn't it? You have everything there, but always you have your own purpose. You don't go everywhere. Ultimately, what Veda Mata, Shruti Mata expects every Vaidika to arrive at is to discover the truth, to discover the moksha. Only the Mata will be happy. You know, Shruti Mata will be really happy with the Vaidika children, Vaidika children, Vaidika Putraha, only if they arrive at the moksha. Arrive at the moksha means what? Only discover moksha, and through the discovery of the Parambrahma, Paramatma Vastu, Paravastu, not as something different from oneself, as one's own self. That is the very purpose. The tatparyam is in mokshaha only. Tatparyam means ultimate purpose of the entire Shastram. The primary thing in the of the Shastram is discovery of moksha through the discovery of the reality as the self, as one's own swarupam. This is a complete sentence, isn't it? Paramatatparyam is what? Discovery of moksha through the discovery of the reality as one's own swarupam. It's a complete sentence. That is what the Shastra's tatparyam. And everything else is for everything. The entire Veda, Karma, Upasana, Kandas are all only for helping the individual to become qualified, equipped, eligible for that vision. See, Jnana Yogyata Nimittameva Samagram Api Veda, isn't it? Veda Anta Shastram Kevalam is for, you know, actually the Mukshoho Jignasoho. That is for only for the person who is already, you can say, whom you can call the person of total serious commitment. So the Tatparyam happens to be there. Therefore, Shastram Upanishad also begins with the Jnana Yoga. why first verse is Jnana Yoga Sutram, Sutra Mantraha? Why the first beginning itself in few verses, 3rd to 8th, in 6 mantras, the whole Jnana Yoga teaching, briefly and elaborately, the Upanishad finishes teaching. Why? Because the aim is, that is the primary end. Then Karma Yoga is taught later on, which means people who are not serious. Isn't the rest of the mantras from 9th to 10th, 18th, 10 verses and plus the second verse, total 11 verses. Of the 18 verses, 11 verses deal with the Karma Yoga. Only, you know, 7 verses deal with Jnana Yoga, which means the verses dealing with Jnana Yoga are less in number. The verses dealing with Karma Yoga are more in number, which means like even Veda, the whole Veda, if you take Karma Kanda is most voluminous portion. Upasana Kanda also you have to include in the there only. And then very, you know, very thin portion of the Veda is what? Actually forms the Veda Anta Shastram, Upanishads. Therefore, here also we have the same, but people who are not yet ready, either people who are still ignorant, or even if they are not ignorant, or ignorant of the end also. See, if people are not, no, there is no Purushartha Nischayaha, then there is no Purushartha Nischayaha means how will they be living? Then definitely there is no way of understanding the value of knowledge. For one to understand, to become committed to the pursuit of knowledge, and first of all, he must know the value of knowledge. And to know the value of knowledge, he must have Purushartha Nischaya. He must know the Sambandha. Sadhana Sadhya Sambandha, he should know. That moksha is the end, if it is very clear. Then he will know knowledge being the only means. Why? Because here the means and end are not like some other means and end. Because the means itself is the end. Jnanam eva mokshaha. It's not something you attain moksha after the jnanam. There's no sequence, isn't it? First I attain jnanam, then I attain freedom. There's no attainment of freedom or something which happens after jnanam. Jnanam is mokshaha, but without jnanam there is bandaha, there is only bondage. Therefore we say what? Jnanam is said to be the means of attainment of moksha. Because it is not something to be attained, it's only something to be which is already there. Therefore, attainment is only in terms of knowing. Therefore, we say what? Knowledge is the means. Therefore, that knowledge, the sambandha, between jnanam and moksha, there is a sambandha. Sadhana sadhya sambandha. That's, you know, the means end connection. That sambandha must be very clear for the person. Only then one should understand the knowledge itself is moksha. Knowledge is, moksha is identical with the knowledge. That becomes very clear. That is when seriousness comes. That is when one can become committed to the pursuit of knowledge. Is it? The commitment to the pursuit of knowledge is there, then the question will come, pramana buddhi also will be there. What is the pramanam? How can I know that? How can I discover that? How can I know? Isn't it? There again, the jnanam also, discovery of this moksha also, is only through the discovery of the reality. There's no way of discovering happiness, fullness, limitlessness. You have to understand these three words are synonyms. Okay, fullness, happiness, limitlessness. Isn't it? So, in fact, these three words are synonyms means what? This is something to be discovered, and how it has to be understood in terms of the swarupam only. It's a nature. The word swarupam is something much more expressive than the word nature. So, the most abstract, fullness, you have to discover fullness. What does the word fullness mean? What does the word limitlessness mean? You know, what does the word happiness mean? It is definitely not a state of mind. Definitely not. Because, you know, any state of mind subject to change. If it is not vritti, it is not in the form of a, you know, it's not a state of mind. which what this happiness means. It's already there. It is already there, always there, everywhere it is. It is there in everything also. It is there in everything. In everything, in the form of everything, always, everywhere it is there. But how to see it? How to cognize it? How to, isn't it? That is when the Shastram also makes it very clear, Vastu Swarupameva Sukham. Vastu Swarupameva Sukham means what? Sukham, this limitless happiness and Vastu, the reality, are not two different things. We also see that also, no, it is not, there are two different things. The reality is fullness. Fullness is the reality. They're not two different things. If then what is the reality? That is where the question of what is the reality? Reality, again, relatively we can use the term reality, but here we understand the absolute reality or ultimate truth. The paravastu, param, the very word param, we use absolute, ultimate, you know, that vastu. Vastu means here that which is vastu. That absolute reality which alone is, which is. Which is means which never came into existence, which has been always. Timelessly which has been, therefore which will ever be, and which has been there, which will ever be, and which is also changeless. Therefore, beginninglessly, endlessly, changelessly, the reality which has been there alone is what? Vastu. Isn't it? That vastu, we say the reality, and then if you know what the reality is, then you know what fullness is. If you know what fullness is, you know what happiness is. If you know, understand, then if you know what happiness, fullness is, means you know what limitlessness is, then you know what happiness is. They're not, you don't know one after the other. Okay, knowing the reality is knowing what limitlessness is. Knowing what limitlessness is, in fact, knowing what fullness is. Knowing what fullness is, you are knowing what happiness is. Isn't it? Therefore, what that reality, that's why here that is the same means, therefore discovery of the reality should become your choiceless end. How do you understand again connection? First, you understood the connection between jnanam and moksha. Then you understand jnanam of what? Isn't it? Knowledge of what? So knowledge of moksha is knowledge of the reality, means the knowledge of the reality becomes your end. Choiceless end. Sambandha is important, isn't it? The knowledge of the reality becomes the choiceless end. Then knowledge of the reality, where is it available for knowing? How can I know? How can I arrive at it? How to discover it, isn't it? There again, the reality, the only instrument of knowledge for you is the mind. The whole jagat, knowledge of the entire jagat has to happen only in your mind. Definitely not on your head, not on your nose, not on your thighs or lips, anywhere. It has to happen only in the mind. And then it's called, I'm going to teach you the process of knowing. How does the knowledge take place? Only in the mind. If knowledge takes place only in the mind, knowledge of anything takes place in the mind. And here, the Shastram tells, only with the help of the Shastram, we also understand this fact from the Sampradaya teacher, that reality also has to be discovered not as an object, but as the very subject. Where, subject means what? As the very swarupam of the self, one's own self. As the very knower, subject of knowledge. The reality has to be discovered, is available for recognition. It is not that reality is not outside. You see, when you say what is, there is only reality. Reality alone is. That is why vastu alone, vastu is that which alone is vastu. Therefore, it must be there, isn't it? It must be there in everything. It must be there in the form of everything. Means, but still, how do you understand? Only Shastram tells you. It is not available for objectification, not as an object. It is not an object, first of all. Reality, even though every object you experience is nothing but that vastu, but still the vastu, for you to recognize that vastu, it is available for recognition only as the swarupam of the subject. Is it? So availability also is revealed by the Shastra. Then you arrive at it. Then that is when you understand the reality is available, to be understood only as the very self, swarupam of the jnata, jnatu swarupenaiva. Now, jnatuhu swarupam means what? The swarupam of the truth of the very knower, available for recognition. Once you understand that, therefore, the self, it's available as the self. Even available as the self also, that knowledge of the reality, isn't it? As the self also has to take place only in the mind. Knowledge has to take place, isn't it? Knowledge of an object takes place in the mind. Knowledge of the subject also has to take place in the mind only. In the form of a thought only. Is it clear now? So mind does not, reality is not an object of knowledge, but the knowledge of the reality has to take place in your mind. Like any other knowledge of any object takes place, knowledge of subject also takes place in the mind. Isn't it? Therefore, that also becomes very clear. Then, for that jnanam, you need a pramanam, because it is not like any other object. You need a pramanam, and the pramanam is the shastram. And a shastra pramanam, why? Because what is to be known is anything other than you. Then as an object, you can use all the pramanams, all different types of means of knowledge available. You can use all of them to have the knowledge of anything other than you in the world. This is the crucial thing, okay? There's so many, you can say perception, inference, presumption. You can use all, no, comparison. We have all forms of, you can use your sense organs to know the world means. You can use your intellect also to arrive at a lot of things based on your perceptions and then understanding. But here, you cannot use any pramanam. Why? Because pramanam is employed by you. So it's only to arrive at things which are other than you, different from you. But here, vastu happens to be available as your own self, not an object. No pramanam can be used. The only pramanam that's available for you to help you is, you know, shastram. Because shastram does not, you know, shastram helps you to see yourself. You can see the entire world, all the external world of objects and external things through other pramanams. But to see yourself, you need a pramanam which is, you know, which can reflect yourself. That is why we always use this, isn't it? We need, even in Dakshinamurti Stotram class, I told you last time how, you know, you may have your own eyes, but still you need support, you know, aid of aid something, no aid, in order to make your, is it, to know something much subtler, you need some microscope or a telescope in addition to your eyes. Without your eyes also, microscope will be useless, telescope will be useless. But with your eyes themselves are not adequate to know certain objects. So here also, to know yourself, your own buddhi is not enough. It needs support of the shastram. And here again, something, because the reality, the moksha, the discovery of moksha, discovery of freedom, the discovery of happiness happens to be in the form of discovery of your own swarupam, the reality as the very self. Here, you need to know your own very self, and for which you need something from other pramanam. Like how I told you this also last time, the eyes can see the whole jagat. To see the eyes themselves, a mirror has to be in the front, isn't it? Darpanam darpanena vina, isn't it? No, swakiyam darshanam can never, eyes can never have their own, no, they can never have the darshanam of their own themselves without the mirror. That is how it is said. Here also, for you to know your own swarupam, definitely you need a mirror like thing. You can only through, see, eyes can see themselves only through their reflection. Very important. Eyes can see themselves only through their reflections. No eyes, I can ever see the original I. When you see the reflection, you are able to see the reflection itself is the fact that you are, your eyes are the, eyes are seeing. Similarly, here also, only through, now, through the manifestation, only through the manifestation you can arrive at your own swarupam. Eyes can see only through their, see themselves through the reflection. The self can see its own swarupam through its manifestation. Suppose, imagine that the mirror is not there. Eyes can see the whole jagat. It can keep on seeing. It can go in search of whatever is there, because it is blessed with the capacity to see, isn't it? So it can go all over seeing things, but it can never see. It's, that's why the ignorance of eyes will remain. But no, the swatma, atma jnana will continue to be there. Only maximum can I can see. I see. Isn't it? Can never understand. Similarly, we can know whole jagat without shastram. You can see so many things. You can understand so many things. You can discover so many things. No, but that the knowledge of ignorance of the reality will continue to be there. Unless and until you see your own swarupam through the shastra mirror. You have to see your own swarupam. How? Through your own manifestation. You have to see yourself through your manifestation. But for you to understand your manifestation, you need your shastra mirror. Unless, no, only then the moksha sukham is available. Otherwise, how much ever you see in the world without shastra mirror, isn't it? You can, there will be atma jnanam. As long as there is atma jnanam, there will be brahma jnanam. Brahma jnanam is what? Knowledge, ignorance of the reality. As long as ignorance of the reality is there, so long will there be bandha. There will be bondage. Isn't it? Therefore, this connection, if a person understands, like moksha jnanam, connection between jnanam and moksha, connection between knowledge of the reality and mokshaha, connection between the self-knowledge and the knowledge of the reality and the mokshaha, they are all not three different things, they are all one and the same. And connection between the Nanam and the Shastram. And a pratipadaka pratipadya sambandha. Knowledge is revealed and then Shastram is the pratipadakam. Isn't it? Therefore, connection between Shastram, Pramanam and the for Atma Swarupam is the Prameya means what? Not an object here. For the Jnanam, again Shastram the, being this Pramanam also should be connection and he understands. Then the person, he is committed means, then he also sees the limitation of everything else, then no choice. He will go for the pursuit of knowledge. In that, through Shravanam and Mananam, definitely he will understand the reality as his own. Swarupam, he understand fullness also. In discovering the fullness, he'll also see what mithyatvam of everything. Seeing the mithyatvam is more important. Now, seeing the mithyatvam of the jagat means the entire cosmos being mithya must become very clear. It is not simply saying. Because why the whole jagat is so tangible, so gross, and so much it is experienced. That is why it's very difficult to negate the jagat as mithya. Is it falsification of jagat through cognitive resolution, through the vision of the reality is very important, isn't it? That's why vastu swarupa jnanam itself is not there. How can you resolve it as mithya? If you cannot resolve it as mithya, then you cannot arrive at the conclusion what is there is only Atma. There is no Paramatma, there is no Jiva Atma, there is only Atma. How? There is no big space outside, there is no room space also. What is there is only space. But it's very difficult for you to now say, oh, all the walls divide the space, that is how I see. No, each wall, all the walls seem to be dividing the space because we are enjoying it, it is useful. Open space is not useful for us, only walk around maybe. Not very cozy for us, very cold outside, windy outside, but still because it's enjoyable. Now, enclosed space is enjoyable, useful, it serves a purpose. So for us it is more real for us. Enclosed area is very, because of its usefulness, because of its purposefulness, it's experience also what now it's very real for us. But actually speaking, the seeming divisions may be there, but still really speaking, there is no such a thing called room space at all. There is no ghata akashaha, there is no prakoshta akashaha, there is no, isn't it, big other akashaha, ground akashaha, there is only akasha, there is only space. Which means you don't need to really demolish all the rooms. Buddhi is enough, isn't it? Without, enjoy everything, but still you can see this. What is, there is only space without doing anything. Isn't it? Without changing anything. Okay, without demolishing, felling the walls, without doing any destruction, seeing everything as it is, till you can clean, the cognitively, intellectually, you can resolve all these walls, resolve all the objects occupying the space, you can just say, there is just only space. Indivisible, partless whole space is there, isn't it? That must be very clear. You don't need to do anything. Similarly, the jagat is mithya. The samagraha prapanchaha mithya eva. The entire jagat being mithya means it is as good as non-existent. We don't say it is non-existent. It is as good as non-existent because it is experienced. It is not unreal, tucham, but it is at the same time it is not real also. It has no countability. The jagat is mithya. Now, cognitive resolve it as how you say there is no such a thing called pots, this room space. There is no such thing called that space, isn't it? There is no division. That how do you arrive at it? The same way the whole jagat is mithya. The whole jagat is mithya means for which you need sad darshanam. You need the vision of the reality. Only then it must become very clear, doubt-free, ascertained vision of the reality alone. This is what the reality, there is no nothing other than this reality is. Only in that knowledge the resolution is possible. Isn't it? When you will resolve it, then you have to make what now? Then arises the vritti jnanam. Every step there is jnanam. Okay? Vritti jnanam. What is that jnanam? It's called akhanda akara vritti jnanam. Akhanda akara vritti jnanam. Akhanda means what? Indivisible, divisionless. Akara means form. The indivisible form, divisionless form. Formlessness is the form. Indivisibility, divisionlessness, and a formlessness being the form of the reality, isn't it? That when you, that reality, when you understand reality as the swarupam, as the very innermost essence, no, then, oh, this is what the reality, this is all that is here is this vastu, this reality alone. And I am that reality. Everything else here is that reality. Therefore, everything else, isn't it? In that vision, that is called what? Akhanda akaraha. So, knowledge of akhanda vritti jnana means knowledge which rises in your mind in the form of a thought, isn't it, is called vritti jnanam. And a vritti jnana vishayaha, isn't it, akhanda akara vastu, the formless reality, which the being indivisible partless whole, understand that jnanam, knowledge of that reality is what now? Reality is akhanda akaraha, isn't it? Therefore, akhanda akara vritti jnanam rises. Knowledge rises in your mind, isn't it? That is, that jnanam is actually, once the jnanam rises, will you forget it again? You will not forget it. No, you will not lose it. But still you have to ascertain it, isn't it? And that ascertainment again, we say nididhyasanam, for that you know repeatedly focus your attention on that knowledge which has already risen. We can become very clear. Then you ascertain that knowledge which is moksha, isn't it? Which itself is moksha, which means how committed you must be for that. First of all, to do shravanam, also you need shraddha. You need, must be more focused. Without being focused, nothing can be achieved in the world. You all know very well. Because you're all really achievers in life. People are all achievers. Everyone is achiever in one's own way. Everyone has one's own beautiful things to say. Though nobody's life is a meaningless life. Everyone's life is very significant and meaningful. Everyone's life has one's own, you know, the stories to say, which means there's so many achievements. When any achievement, really any upliftment you had in your life, really proves that you were focused. Without being focused, nothing can be achieved. And what about this jnanam? The knowledge of the most abstract reality, parabrahma vastu. There is no, isn't it? This knowledge which will help you see the fact of the jagat being mithya, the knowledge which will help you resolve your own individuality, this knowledge which will help you resolve your smallness, all the problems you have in the life because of one small error, on your part, because of your own erroneous perception of yourself, this thought which will really see the fact of yourself being fullness already, isn't it? This big cognitive shift has to take place. Means not simply, it's not intellectual academic pursuit at all. It's a serious spiritual pursuit, isn't it? This wisdom also needs your attention, also needs your real focus. It is, that is why Shastra study, I'm very happy. 10 people are here in the class, also very happy. It's not for the big crowd. Of course, some people couldn't come because of genuine reasons. The different thing, also part, lot of things have to work for to be able to attend the class also, isn't it? Anyway, what I'm saying here, that is why this is not something mass attractive, because it needs very, very, the commitment must something required on the part of every seeker, something very different. So Shravanam also with Shraddha one has to do, and Mananam also one must do. It means only then Vastu Swarupa Jnanam. Oh, this is how the Vastu is. That becomes very clear, and then you more you dwell upon the Swarupa of the Vastu repeated again, it becomes, because there you no doubt, there's no reality other than this. This is the reality. And how now, and how everything else is mithya, you understand that also in the context. Then that is why then you finally arrive at the conclusion, this is, there's nothing other than this. This all comes and goes. That jnanam stiram stira jnanam, when you resolve your individuality, resolve the jagat, you resolve the plurality, you arrive at this non-duality. Now, of the reality means, and that is mokshaha. For that, really serious commitment is required. And naturally, one serious commitment means everything else becomes really meaningless. Meaningless means you, that dispassion naturally comes in you towards everything else. The vairagyam, the more you see the necessity, the importance, the value of knowledge, the more you committed, the more you are in the Shastram. Again, you enter into the Shastram, you are with the Shastram all the time, you are with the Shastram, means that will help you discover dispassion also more. Not a meaningless sense, isn't it? Really meaningfully, because it helps you, that's called upliftment, isn't it? That is why we call satsangaha. Now, Shastra Sangha is Satsanga. There is no Satsanga otherwise. Minus Shastram, simply, you know, without Shastra proper teaching, then any other, and anything else will be only what? Only emotional entertainment. Okay? Any minus Shastra teaching, any singing, dancing, anything will be only emotionally entangling entertainment program. Really. But it may be better than going to pubs. But definitely much better than going to pubs. And okay, but I'm saying, but definitely it's not, isn't it? Only Shastra Adhyayana Sangha, Shastra Shravana Sangha, Shastra Manana Sangha is what? Sat Sangha. Isn't it? Of course, Nidhyasana, your Sat itself, isn't it? Nidhyasana. There is no Sangha, there is no association, is not there. Just you are Sat yourself in Nidhyasana. So that is why that commitment is there, then it's okay. That becomes, that's why we have these verses for such people. Jnana Yoga is for such a person. That's what I want to say. Serious, committed, you know, person, then it is committed pursuit. It's called Jnana Nishtha. Otherwise, other people also somehow, sometime, they should be in the right track so that they'll end up in Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam. So that they will also become committed at least later on. they should know, for them, not if no shastram, no purushartha nischayaha, no jnanam means what will happen. Somewhere they should, you know, they should be in the right track, so that they will end up the light. If the right track means somehow they will not go out of the track, they won't be distracted, they'll be in the right track, so that they'll end up in Shravana Manana Nidhyasanam. One day they will discover the sannyasa vritti, sannyasa buddhi. One day they will discover dispassion, isn't it? They'll go through and they'll accomplish. So that they also will become, their lives also will be meaningful. That is the concern of any mother for any child, however dushtaha the child is. You know, no mother will curse the worst of the son also. She will only pray for him to bring, you know, the whole Jagat can blame, but mother will not. She may feel put up, you know, but very difficult to put up, but still she'll pray at least for him. That's the mother, isn't it? So here, Shruti Mata prescribes that karma nishta, karma yoga margaha. In fact, Appuja Swamiji used to say very clearly, purushartha nischeha is not there, then even karma yoga is not possible. There only karma will be there. What is karma and karma yoga? A karma yogi also performs actions, eats, drinks, lives his life. A karmi also lives, does everything. Because a karmi means finished, okay? There is no purushartha nischaya. Therefore, there is no knowledge of the value of knowledge. Therefore, there is no way of becoming committed any time. And then there is no way of managing the thoughts. There is no way of, you know, managing, becoming disciplined. Which means there's no necessity that a person must be committed to dharma also. There is no knowledge of the value of dharma. So dharma anuttanapi, there will be a big question. And imagine if there is no dharma anushtanam, means a man in an animal form. Isn't it? There is no dharma anushtanam. At least leave alone moksha, jnanam, everything. It only it is the dharma anushtanam, it is the commit, it is the, you know, life of dharma which distinguishes a man from an animal. Otherwise you also live like an instinctive life, isn't it? You live by your instincts then. It means then adharma. Therefore, karmi, even karma yoga also. At least if as a Vaidikaha means, at least whether I have anything, at least I follow what the lifestyle enjoined by the Veda. Then, you know, then you are karma yogi. Because all that you do, everything you do in your life, takes care of your mental discipline, your discipline. Anything and everything you do should contribute for disciplining your mind. Keeping your mind calm doesn't need to bless you with the knowledge and vision and all that. Anything you do should help you, contribute for keeping you mentally healthy. Physically eat and somehow you do something, isn't it? But at least the Vedic way of life followed will help you to become mentally healthy. A healthy mind alone can enter into the Shastra study. Sick mind cannot go for much subtler understanding of subtler facts. Therefore, the Veda enjoins a lifestyle, no, the karma. Because if the karma you perform contributes for disciplining your mind, contributes for calming your mind, it contributes for preparing your mind, you know, relatively for knowledge, then that karma, you can call it yoga. Otherwise, karma only. Whatever you do, whatever you speak, whatever you see, whatever you enjoy, disturbs your mind, agitates your mind, you know, then that is only karma. Simple thing. Whatever I do means it can be anything, because you have to earn your living, livelihood, You have to do a lot of things. Living a life means you have to take care of your biological needs. So for which you need to do karma means then living your life, and again, you know, basic requirements such as shelter, food, health, everything, all these things, I mean, you need to do a lot of things, and what you do, how you do, all those things really count. Do they discipline you? Do they make you indisciplined? Isn't it? That is the question. If they contribute for this, you're becoming disciplined, and definitely there is, we can call that karma yoga. If it doesn't contribute for disciplining your mind, then definitely it is mere karma. Mere karma means it will definitely bind you. Karma yoga in long and due course of time contribute for your liberation by preparing you for nididhyasana. Savana shastra vishaya avagamanartham, avagamanadvara. Through the understanding of the teaching, through the assimilation of teaching, through attainment of the vision of the shastram, it serves, it becomes an indirect means for that moksha. That is why, that is what is karma yoga, and we have to start here. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.